It's amazing how you get communication 50%. In this particular story, it was that we had agreed that Eric would be speaking this morning, and then he advised me that he would have to be elsewhere, and I understood he would be elsewhere for the second meeting, not the first. And then I completely forgot that, and he reminded me again this morning that he would be away this morning, but I just thought that he would be away for the second meeting, not the first meeting. So anyway, my great confusion and my sincere apologies to you all. We were considering on the evening, Tuesday evening last, some truths from Isaiah chapter 30. And I will get you to turn again to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, we were looking at part of the chapter then, and we will consider, or we'll continue to look at more of that chapter this morning. We'll just have a word of prayer before we read together some verses. Lord, we just pray that thou wilt help us this morning as we seek the wisdom of God and the understanding from thy word. Pray that you'll bless Eric as he has gone to minister elsewhere, and bless us here, Lord, because we are dependent upon thee. We look to thee for help. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 30, and it is verse 19. It says, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee." The last half of the verse, just a very delightful series of promises. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. We cry. He is gracious. And then it says, he will hear and he will answer. How many verses are there in Scripture on the subject of prayer and answered prayer? And the answer is, Scripture is full of the subject of prayer and answered prayer. The Christian life is a life of dependency upon the Lord. The problem is that the natural man doesn't look to the Lord. And the natural man is basically a very independent man. And I just continually marvel as we are here in the quietness of this room this morning. And by far the vast majority of the people in the city of Vancouver are carrying on as if there really is no God of significance. No God who rewards. Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And most of them say he is not a rewarder. You would be wasting your time to turn to him. And so this verse in its summary statement says that our God will be very gracious to us. And when we pray, he will hear and he will answer. Now, the fact is that we don't always get the answer that we want. But when all is said and done, we acknowledge that God is very gracious. We're here this morning. And if we were to make two lists, the lists of the answers to prayer that we enjoyed, and the answers to prayer that we maybe didn't enjoy, and the answers that we didn't look for, but he gave us anyway, we would probably find that the answers to prayer that we did enjoy are all the great answers to prayer. That's why we're here this morning. We said, Lord, save me, and he did. We said, Lord, preserve me, and he does. We said, Lord, keep me, and he has kept us to this hour. We said, Lord, would you please give me such and such? And sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes we're very disappointed when we don't get precisely what we asked for. But he does keep on giving us the good that we need and the blessings that we require. We mentioned on Tuesday evening the beginning of this particular message of Isaiah, I guess, chapter 30 and verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children that take counsel, but not of me. And our responsibility is to be continually going to the Lord for our counsel. Continually going to the Lord for our counsel. Many people in the world have studied psychology and have sought out the psychological counselors. Sometimes they have a little wisdom. Often they don't. This verse is categorical. And it says to seek counsel apart from the Lord will result in woe. Sooner or later, we all say we should have sought the counsel of the Lord. Asa the king had sore feet, and he didn't go to the Lord, and he said, woe is me, as he was on his deathbed. We seek the counsel of the Lord. And so the first half of the chapter Isaiah 30, we covered on Tuesday evening, and it makes interesting reading as we learn about the counsel that the Lord gives and the wisdom that we should be following, some of the tragedies that befall those who say no to that counsel. Again, verse 19 ends up, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And then verse 20 says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. We pray, and sometimes the Lord responds by giving us the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Well, we don't really enjoy that. We say, Lord, I prayed that you would get me out of these troubles, and here we are. We pray, and instead of granting me the blessing that I've been asking for, you gave me the bread of affliction, or the bread of adversity, and the water of affliction. I didn't want the bread of adversity. I didn't want the water of affliction. How does that tie in to the logic of his being very gracious? And the answer is, he gives us the bread of adversity and the water of affliction because he knows that that is best for us. And he knows that that will result in greater mercy, greater blessing, greater glory, greater praise for him. But it requires a great deal of faith. And if you're like me, you say, but Lord, this is not what I wanted. The current phrase is, this is not what I signed up for. I actually heard that a while ago in relation to a marriage. And she said to her dear husband, "This is not what I signed up for, you know." I think if I had been the husband, I would say, "Yikes, I think I've got a problem here." We often say, "This is, Lord, not what I signed up for." What did we sign up for? We signed up for the blessing of our God. We signed up to be his children. We signed up to follow him. We signed up to go through a valley in order to get to the mountaintop. And sometimes as you go through the valley, it is difficult. And I think that Peter and James and John and the others, as they were rowing furiously at 3 o'clock in the morning and the sea increasingly blowing against them on the Sea of Galilee, said, "This isn't what I signed up for." But ultimately, before they sank, and when they thought they were going to sink, then the Lord came along and blessed. And that is the plan of the Lord. He will test our faith. He will try our faith. It is the trial of our faith that is precious, not our faith that is precious. It is the trial that is precious. And pondering those verses yesterday, as I pointed out to one of you, it's as precious as gold. Where is gold? If you were going to go find some gold today, where would you look? Well, you'd dig a hole, wouldn't you? And you'd go deep. And you'd say, "Well, I don't see any gold here." Gold is very difficult to find, and as a matter of fact, gold is almost never seen until it is ultimately revealed. And we say, all right, the trial of our faith is precious as gold. It is precious as gold, but there's really only one who can find the gold, and that's our Savior. And he knows where it's buried, and we don't. And he knows how deep it's buried, and we don't. And we understand if you're in the mining business, and I'm not, but if you were in the mining business, you go through tons of ore to get ounces of gold. You say, "But Lord, it's been a long time since I've been eating the bread of adversity and the water of affliction." That's taken a long time, Lord. And the Lord says, "I know. We're going to have to go through tons of ore to get the ounces of gold. Let's go." And he says, "Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." I'm not sure all that means. I think that very often as we go through life, we would question our teachers and we would push them off into a corner and we would say to them, "That's not very good teaching. That's not very wise." Have you ever had that experience? I was in Oak Ridge several years ago, 5 years ago. I saw a man over there. I just about went up to speak to him. If I had spoken to him, this is what I would have said. I would have said, "You know, when I was at university, I really wasn't sure what I should have done. So I went for to take an aptitude test." And I would have said to this man, "You know, the man I took the aptitude test from was you. And you gave me this aptitude test. And then you said to me, 'Now, what would you like to do?' And I said, 'Well, I'm not really sure. But I know what I don't want to do.'" And then I would have said to him, "And you know what you said? You told me that really what I should do is what I told you I don't want to do." And we went over it about 3 or 4 times, I would have told this man. And I would have told him then that when it was all over, I went away in disgust and said, Harold, that was a waste of time. And I would have told him that I put you over in a corner back there and said, what kind of a teacher are you? But down through the many years that transpired after that, probably 40 or more at that point, I realized that he was right and I was wrong. I wonder if that isn't what is being mentioned here. You shall not, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And I believe that when we get to the other side, we will look at all the teachers who gave us counsel that we did not appreciate. We will look at all the verses that we took a look at and said, Lord, that's all well and good, but... And we will say, you know, they were right. And I was wrong because I have found that the Lord was very gracious. And when I did pray, he did answer. He even answered through those teachers. And when they gave me the counsel that they gave me, I didn't really appreciate. Verse 21, and thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When it is imperative that you take the right action, the Spirit of God will send a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. We talked last week or the week before, I can't remember, about that verse in Psalm 32. Don't be like the horse, don't be like the mule. The horse gets the bit between his teeth and he charges off and gets himself into a big mess. The mule digs his feet in, and I think if you had a bulldozer, you might not be able to move a lot of mules. They're stubborn and they stand there. And we're not to be like that. But the Lord will make clear when he has to make clear. He will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. Listen to him when he says it. But don't be surprised if he is silent when he doesn't have to move us. The analogy that I always use is the sheep in the pasture. And the shepherd doesn't get up every morning and say to the sheep, you must stay in the pasture today. If he wants to move them out of this pasture into the next pasture, he'll move them. But he doesn't get on with a bullhorn every morning saying, stay in the pasture today. And we will find that our blessed Lord will lead us. Thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You'll hear when you have to move. Don't panic. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. What were these images of silver and gold? Well, they were the gods that they were following. They were big deal gods. They paid a lot of attention to them. They poured a lot of money into them. No doubt they adorned them with significant beauty. If you're going to have something gold and silver, it probably looks pretty good. It was artistic. But they were the means of diverting the attention of the people of God away from the counsel of God. And when you get to that particular point, when you realize that you're now on the right path and not on the other path because the Lord has smartened you up, and sometimes some of us, it takes a long time to smarten us up. But when we get there, we'll say to all those other things, you get They're of no interest anymore. And the gold that's in them and the silver that's in them will despise. Will say, I am following the Lord. Verse 23. Then he shall give thee the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal. The bread of the incense, of the increase of the earth. And it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The Lord will give us the sustenance that we need. That's very, very encouraging. Because oftentimes you go through life and you say to yourself, I'm not quite sure where the next meal is coming from. That's the way it is with many of our brethren today around the world. We are here in can I take the economist phrase, most favored nation? What part of the world is better off than we are? What generation from the days of Adam until day till today is better off than we are? Have we not been given a bountiful supply? And we sit back and we look at the God of bounty and we say, Lord, we never deserved this. Here we are in the lap of luxury, depending on how you would define it. All manner of luxury. And the Lord has given us rain. Not very much this year, but some last night. Except at my house. But the Lord has given us rain. And he has given us bread of the increase of the earth, fat and plenteous. And in that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The Lord's been very, very, very gracious to us. Verse 24, the oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. Why, even our animals are well cared for. Verse 25, and there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Where do you go for rivers and streams? You go to valleys, don't you? When was the last time you wanted to find a river on the top of a mountain? You don't find rivers on tops of mountains. You don't find rivers upon every high hill. How is it, therefore, that we're here finding the rivers on the wrong places and the streams when they ought not to be? It's exactly the opposite of what ought to be. Why would the Spirit of God paint such a picture for us? The only way you get rivers on top of a hill, there's really only two ways you get rivers on top of a hill. One is he sends bountiful rain. And the other is he opens up the fountains of the deep. And he gives an artesian well. And the waters come up. They say that, don't they, around here in Vancouver? I understand Keats Island. There's water supply on Keats Island. You know where Keats Island is. It's just off Horseshoe Bay beyond Bowen Island. And there's water over there. And so they decided a while ago that they would test the water on Keats Island to find out where it comes from. And they concluded that it comes from Mount Baker. And you say, what? Why would the water on Keats Island come from Mount Baker? And it's because the Lord knows that Keats Island needs water, so he had it run down under the channel and up to Keats Island. Mount Baker is much higher than Keats Island, and so the pressure there is able to get it to flow out on Keats. How's the Lord going to get water to the top of your mountain? He's either going to send rain or he's going to pump it from another source. Either way, you're going to say it's miraculous. Is not the life of the Christian miraculous? Okay, now it's not always miraculous the way we want it, but it is always miraculous. And when you look back at where you are and where you started, you will say, I didn't intend to get there this way. And I didn't intend to get here. It's been miraculous. Has there been water for the journey? Yes. Has there been blessing along the way? Yes. Have there been days of adversity and affliction? Yes. Are the days of adversity and affliction still with you? Okay, so you say yes. Because if it isn't one adversity, it's another. And if it isn't one affliction, it's another. But when all is said and done, it is gloriously miraculous. Rivers on tops of mountains. That's the way the Lord feeds his people. Verse 26, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. That's marvelous. There is a breach. There is a wound. There is a problem. What's going to happen? Well, when it all comes clear, it is going to be miraculously greater than we anticipated. The light of the moon as the light of the sun. The light of the sun sevenfold. The light of one day is the light of 7 days. What's ahead? And the Christian has got to continually look beyond what is here to what is ahead, doesn't he? He's always looking ahead. He's always looking past today. I understand someday that the biography of Bill McDonald is going to be written somehow. I don't know how. But somehow I ran across a line that I think is going to be in the book. I'm not sure where or how I got it. But Bill often described his life as one of tedious toil. Okay? Now, if you're going to write the Believer's Bible Commentary, that is a good book. If you're going to write it, how are you going to do it? You're going to do it one page at a time. It's probably got, 1,500 pages in it, maybe 2,000. You're going to write them one page at a time. How long is it going to take you to write a page? Now, if you're like me, it's going to take you a long time to get started. You got to get all that background material. You got to wade through countless. Jay and Darby was once asked the question, what is it that you read? What kind of stuff do you read, Mr. Darby? And his answer was, mostly bad. Okay, now that's mostly what's there. How is Bill McDonald going to get all the background? He's going to have to sift through a lot of chaff to get to wheat, to do what he did. How did he do it? On the basis of tedious toil. You keep on going, and you just go and go. And go, and go. And when you're finished, why, the difficulties are over and the glory shines. And so it's true that we have had in our own lives the breach when the wall came crashing down. And we said, oh, dear. And we've had the wound when we've been distressed. And we say, Lord, that's heavy stuff. And the Lord says, I know. But when it's all over, it'll be like the moonlight, as bright as the sun. and the sun bright enough for 7 days. Verse 27, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from afar, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. What's all this about? Why, it's about the fact the Lord's going to set everything right. And he's going to deal with those things that are wrong. Have you been wronged? And we keep on reading. All my life I've been reading about David and his enemies. And under my breath, as I've been reading, I've been saying, you know, Lord, I'm not really sure that I have any enemies. Now, David had a lot of enemies. But as you go through life, you find that you end up with, or you may end up with, enemies. I think I got more enemies today than I ever had before. Bad guys, none of them that you know, they're not my good friends like you. But there are some bad guys out there. What's going to happen? Well, the Lord's going to look after them. And those bad guys, they may have caused a breach, and they may have caused a wound. And the distress is there, and we say, Lord, you look after them too, please. The Lord is the one who does look after us. What's the verse again? It's verse 19. And for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, and thou shalt weep no more. Hallelujah. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Lord, we're thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for your promises. We don't always understand them, the Lord. And we don't get terribly excited when we have those days of adversity and affliction. And we would rather that they would pass soon, Lord. But we pray that we might be a people zealous for our God. And here we are in the middle of this summer. And we thank thee for all thy goodness. And we just pray that the result will be that the blessing of our God will be upon us, and that we will be faithful as we seek to proclaim the good news. And Lord, give us, we pray, the grace of endurance. We thank thee that before us is everlasting joy. Right now, we know a little bit about sorrows, and we just pray that we might be an overcoming people. We thank thee for thy goodness. We thank thee for the promises, and we thank thee that thou art the God of the promises, and all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, for which we give thee thanks. Amen.